Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A, the B-A-Q-A, what you say? The B-A-Q-A, no man dead. The B-A-Q-A, just tipping it. The B-A-Q-A. Some of y'all might know, Mandy's not currently here. Her father was hospitalized. He is doing much better, but she's not here, but she will be back. So, you know, send her your love and prayers and thoughts. She would definitely appreciate that. This is Brown Ambition Question and Answers. You have question. I have some answers-ish. What that means is I'm not your accountant. I'm not your mama. I'm not your financial advisor, your attorney, child. I'm just your cute internet financial cousin that knows a thing or two about money and finance and et cetera, et cetera. What that means, though, you are going to lean on these people that you pay for the final say on this advice. Okay? Okay. AKA Sue, your grandma, not us. All right. If you have questions, best way to do it is you can email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. You can go to brownambitionpodcast.com and click the contact us button, or really just slide in our DMs on IG, Brown Ambition Podcast. Okay. We got some questions today, honey. I'm about to, let me see. I'm going to call it. What's what I said? I'm going to call this messy. Okay. We're going to call her Miss Messy. Hi, hope all is well. I'm a fan of your podcast. I absolutely love it. Learned a lot about it through Tiffany. I've been following her for some time, and I love her too. Thanks, girl. She said, I have a question. It's messy. Ooh, child. You know me. I like a little mess. Okay. So back in spring 2021, my sister asked me to borrow my Instacart account to make deliveries, and I gave it to her. My boyfriend at the time then told me to tell her to stop using it because he's knowledgeable on 1099s and said I'd have to pay the IRS come tax season. So a 1099 basically is this tax paper that you get that says this is what you made this year, right? So the employer said this person is not my employee, but I did pay them on behalf of the business. So because they're not my employee, I didn't pay taxes for them. They had to pay taxes for themselves. But basically, it's the employer telling the IRS, go ahead and get your money because here's the 1099, the proof that this person was paid, but not no taxes were taken out. That's what a 1099 is. Fast forward to tax season in the winter, I received my annual income of about $35,000, as well as a 1099 that said I earned about $21,000, knowing good and well, I did not work Instacart. I was shocked and confused. I had already filed before opening that envelope for the 1099, and my tax person said I received a $3,000 tax return. So she was ready. I was excited and had plans. Of course you did. Then I brought the 1099, and he said I would actually owe the $3,000 and then some. Jesus. I know my sister continued using my account, even though I asked her not to, after learning about the 1099. I told her, hey, you're going to have to pay me about $3,000 to pay the IRS. No, okay, we're going to finish. Let me stop. Technically, it didn't come out of my pocket because they just took it from the return I would have gotten, sad face. I know I'm not wrong for asking her for that money because it was supposed to be mine. She should have been setting money aside. She's 42 and I'm 26. I'm gonna say that again. She's 42 and I'm 26, so I feel taken advantage of. She only Zelled me $250. I don't know what to do. Just pretend it didn't happen. I'm not gonna call you Messy. I'm calling Messy is your sister. Tell your sister to come to the phone right now. 26, go get your 42-year-old sister, because I'm 44, so we're going to talk as peers. Go get your sister now. Pause the podcast and go get her and bring her to the podcast. Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sis, your little sister told me that you asked to borrow her Instagram account, her Instacart account, which I'm not sure why you would do that. Like, are you not allowed to make money on your own? Either way, that's where you first messed up, because you should not have been using her Instacart account to do delivery. So that's one. Okay. Two, she asked you to stop, sis. And obviously you continued, almost doubling her income. And she was supposed to get $3,000 back. Not only is she not getting $3,000, she also owes another $3,000. So that's $6,000 that baby sis is in a deficit for because of the choice that you decided, 42, to make. Now, mistakes happen. I know this. But now she's asking for it to be righted. And I know you love your baby sis. You've only zelled her $250. What is going on? And now baby sis is feeling taken advantage of, because quite honestly, as the big sis who is nearly twice her age, and I'm not an ageist because sis, I'm 42. I'm 44. I mean 45. So I'm big sis to you. Why? Go ahead and run this girl back her daggone money. What is going on? Here's the thing. You shouldn't have used her Instacart, but you already did that. Okay, we're here now. Two, like, I don't know if you understand. See, the thing is, I find it hard to believe that you didn't understand how 1099 worked. Not at 42. You know, like, I can see if you was 26, like your little sis, because I get it. She probably didn't understand. Her boyfriend put her up on game about 1099s. Girl, you knew that a 1099 was going to get issued. Why would you do that? Honestly, that's you. I have three younger sisters. You know that one of the roles as an older sister is to educate, to protect, and honestly, sometimes even provide for our little sisters. We're not here to take advantage of them, but now we're here. Girl, not only do you owe her that $3,000, you owe her another three on top of that. You do. Because she was going to get back $3,000. So now that we know all that is true, we know this is true. Now it's time for solutions. I like to be a paper towel person. When I was a kid, I used to spill something. If it was my dad, he would get mad and be fussing, 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 and then finally hand you a paper towel. which I just did with you because I'm still my daddy's daughter. And my mother would just say, just go ahead and get a paper towel. Well, you need a little fussing first. So now let's go to paper towel, the solution. We're going to clean this up. So you've only Zelled her $250, maybe more by now because you wrote this a little while ago. Okay. Now, what is the payment plan to give this girl her $6,000? Let's map that out. What does that look like? Because it's not a matter of like, are you, you're going to, you know, like, cause one, 26, little sis, here's the thing that like, you are not going to pretend that it didn't happen because even if you pretended it did, and you're going to feel some kind of way because you're supposed to feel some kind of way because your sister made a mistake, but sisters make mistakes. I've got four sisters. Lord knows that we've been up, down, side to side. We've made mistakes, but it is her job to remedy that mistake. It is her job to remedy that mistake. And so now we're going to map out a payment plan of what it looks like to pay her the $6,000, the $3,000 that the IRS took already, and the additional $3,000 she's had to pay. So what does that look like? Can you do, is that $500 a month? Okay, let's do a little math. I'm taking my calculator right now. Okay, I'm going to do a little math calculator. Calculator. $6,000 divided by $500 a month is 12 months. So you can pay back little sis in about a year. Because if you can do $250 every 2 weeks, can you do that? Can we get little sis whole in about a year? I think we could do that. I think you should make that your business to do that. You know, absolutely. Now, here's the thing, little sis. I'm not going to say you shouldn't trust people so easily because that is your older sister. Of course you're supposed to trust. I mean, who are you supposed to trust if not your sister? But when things like this happen, I want you to, something that my dad taught me early on, even when it came to my sisters, is that you can let people borrow money, but never your name. So he said, you are not to co-sign. You are not to write your name down up. You are not to be a joint whatever for anyone. Like when you get married, because legally you already joined anyway. But he was like, if your sister comes to you and says, I want to buy a car, can you co-sign for me? No. Not your boyfriend, not your sister, not your friend. It's better for you to say, I can lend you $1,500. And if they don't pay it back, they don't pay it back. But lending your name means that they could do irreparable damage like this. Do you understand, little sis? That this is a really valuable lesson for you, never to lend your name like this again, and allowing her to have access to your Instacart like this, that was you lending your name. You didn't know, so I'm certainly not getting on you, but you're learning now just how important that is, because the IRS does not care about, oh, my sister, da, da, da. Yeah. They're like, wah, 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 we want our money. And the thing is, I don't know how long it's been and if you've been able to pay the IRS, but big sis, know that you got to pay that interest too, because if little sis doesn't have that additional $3,000, they might be charging her interest. You have to pay that, you know? And quite honestly, little sis, y'all got the same mama? Mm-hmm. You black? Even if you're not, run tell your mama. That's right, big sis. She's telling on you. Not only your mama, tell your grandmama too, right? So if big sis don't give you your money back, tell your mother. Because what the hell? Like, no. You need to confront her. I'm not saying that you guys shouldn't talk anymore. I'm not saying you're supposed to cut her off. I'm not saying that at all. But little sis, this is when you put your big girl pants on and you're going to woman up and you're going to confront her and say, that's not okay. Let's work out a plan. Like, okay. And then I need my money back because that's not okay. And if she refuses to engage, I'm telling. Because if I'm going to be a little sis, I'm going to be a little sis all the way. Okay. Yeah. But don't ever pretend that something bad did not happen to you. That's no, because something did, you know, and big sis, like, you know, we're going to forgive you, but you're also going to get it together and make it right. Okay. Now y'all hug and make a plan on the 1st and the 15th, pick those days. If you want to open up a joint, well, no, don't even do that, because at this point, big sis might not be able to be trusted. You're going to send her that money every 2 weeks. $500, $250 every 2 weeks until you pay it off. All right? All right. Child, that was messy. Anyway, we're going to take a break, honey. I'm about to get a little gulp of water, take a break, and hopefully the next question won't be as messy, but child, Go ahead, big sis. I know you got a little attitude. Go ahead. It's okay, because we're both grown women. I had to get you together, girl. I still love you, but don't do that. We'll be back. And blacker than ever.
America starts the day with America in the morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, I am refreshed, requests, and I'm back and black and brown. All right, next question is for Riel. This is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. Riel said, hey, ladies, question for you. I just got married in October. Congratulations, girl. And I'm trying to combine finances. Okay, now this is different. What I just told little sis, big sis, combining of finances, no. But in marriage is different because quite honestly, the IRS looks at you the same anyway. I already have almost two decades of good credit history. Okay. My cards would only let us open new ones. Or I can add my spouse as an authorized user. I thought I'd be able to add him on the existing account as joint. Any ideas what to do with my three credit cards now? We want a joint cash back card, which I already have with Citi on my own, which is the same card we'd be opening as joint. I'm so bummed that I really wouldn't have a need for my cards anymore. I don't want them to close. Any thoughts would be much appreciated. Thank you. Okay, Riel, here's the thing. I believe in mine and ours when it comes to money and marriage. Ooh, I like that. Did you hear what I said? I believe in mine and ours when it comes to money and marriage. So I don't think you have to close your cards if you don't want to. You can certainly keep it. I mean, I literally have my first card. I mean, you know, I was married to Jarrell and I had my card from when I was in college. Right? It's my Bank of America card that I barely use. You know, I had, I want to say when I got married to Jarrell, I had two credit cards, maybe more, maybe three, maybe like you, but definitely two that like I kind of was using. And then when we got married, I kept them. I didn't really use them much, but I kept them and I was able to keep my credit history because I understand you want that credit history. So you don't have to close those cards. You can put like one small little bill on it and pay it off automatically. If you want to keep that good credit history, do that. So, but if you want to have a card that both of you guys can be using, maybe you're using it for bills or whatever, then you can open up a new card with Citi while keeping your old card. Because like my husband and I, at the time we were using like Wells Fargo. So he had a Wells Fargo card and account. I had a Wells Fargo card and account. And then we had a joint one. So I don't think like, it's not that when you're married, you throw away your whole existence, Riel. No. Like you can literally keep all the accounts and the cards you had before and then just open new joint ones and then navigate with new rules. So this is what Jarrell and I, the rules that we had for me and Jarrell. So I had a checking account for spending for myself. He had a checking account for spending on himself, almost like allowance, right? That was one checking account each for ourselves independently. And then we had a joint checking account for, I called it family/house bills. So that was like groceries, gas, you know, any like, we didn't have a mortgage, but like PSE&G, water, like the electrical bill, blah, 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 any kind of joint expenses that affected the house. Even what we started to do date nights out of those bills. Like we had that card and like when we would like we every Friday we would have a date night and each one of us could choose what date night looked like. And so because I made significantly more than Jarrell toward the end of his life, we started to say, okay, then we just use that card, you know, for date night. So we can kind of have like equal footing when it came to planning date night. And so you can make up your own rules, but that's what we did. We had this joint account where it was like, this is where we literally called it the bills account. And it's crazy. It's just funny because I just came back, not funny, but I just came back from the bank now. So I don't know, drug. I mean, he's been gone for about 2.5 years now, which seems so surreal and crazy. Anyway, he's been gone for like 2.5 years now, but I got a check in the mail from the hospital where he passed away. Or maybe it was his health plan, whatever it was. It was like a $160 check that they sent. And I was like, what is this for? It was a refund. And I have an estate trust bank account, that I opened up, you know, as the administrator of Jarrell's estate, but the check said Jarrell Smith, not the estate of Jarrell Smith. So they wouldn't let me deposit it in the estate account. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? They're like, do you have an account with his name on it? And I did. My bills account still has his name on it. And so they're like, we could put it there. I'm like, well, that seems stupid. So why'd you make me go through this whole estate, creating a whole estate account? If like, you're just going to like, he's not even here. And so either way, I was able to deposit this account, this check with his name on it into our bills account because it still existed and it still had his name on it. So it just had me thinking. I just told my sister the other, when I came home, I said, all of us, I have a joint account with one of my sisters when I used to help her. And so I told her, I said, all of us should have a joint account with one sister just in case something like this happens. Because even if we have an estate account for you, apparently you can't even use it really. That if you have a joint account, we would still be able to deposit and withdraw money if it were to come in trickling some years later. Anyway, so I just share all that to say that even now I still have a joint account with him, you know, even though he's not here. And so we also had independent savings accounts and then a joint savings account. We had independent retirement accounts and then joint investment accounts. Does that make sense? So everything that we had joint, we also had independently as well. And so I'm not saying that's the way to do it. I'm just saying that's the way we did it. We sat down, we talked through it. How do you want this to go? And I believe in mine and ours. So it's like the vast majority of the money that was brought into the household went into the R bucket. But I also believe that adults should have some autonomy. If he wanted to buy some Jordans, should he be like, hey, babe, you know, I'm going to use the bill money for it. No, he has his own checking account. We started that because that's what we were doing. We had all of our money in one thing, nothing independent. And that we were always checking in for these small things. Hey, I'm going to get my hair done. Just so you know, it's going to be $100. Hey, I'm going to buy some sneakers. Just so you know, it's going to be $200. No. So we started, we need to have some separate money where it's not affecting the household budget. So you can do whatever you want because we already had agreed upon the amount of money that was going to go to our household budget, our household savings, our household investing. And then outside of that, you could do what you wanted. So you still have autonomy as an adult to navigate financially. Does that make sense? And that worked best for us. And because I made significantly more than Jarrell, we didn't do 50-50. Instead, what we did was Jarrell contributed the majority of his check to the bills account. So because he really wanted to pay the bills. And I said, okay. And so I didn't put any money into the bills account, except I helped my parents. And so I would put the money into the bills account that I was sending them every month, because the bills account would generate an automated check and still does that sends money to my parents every month. So that money I put into the bills account, but all the other money that went into the bills account was Jarrell, because he was like, no, I want to pay the bills. I said, okay. And then the majority of the money that I made went into our joint savings and investment account. So he funded the bills account. I largely funded our joint savings and investment account. Does that make sense? And so it just worked for us. So even though we had these joint accounts, we funded them, quote unquote, financially unevenly, but in a way that was equitable and fair to us. And so, you know, I'm sharing that candidly, you know, because, and y'all, I've shared this before that, you know, that Jarrell never made over $60,000 a year. But as a result of navigating that way, when it was time to buy a house, it was like, okay, he's like, I want to still pay all the bills. I'm like, okay, well, the kind of house that I want to get is not going to be available at his income level. But we, because of how much money I was making, what was in our savings was able to buy us the house. It was a foreclosure cash. The house was 180. So it was like, okay, we could buy this house 180, which we did. And then it allowed him to still pay the bills because we didn't have the mortgage. So it was like the taxes, he paid the electrical bill, the water bill, whatever. But do you see, it was like, that's what marriage is. It's this dance between how do you want this to go? You want to manage all the bills and pay all the bills. Great. But a mortgage will put us outside the range of you paying the bills. Oh, well, I'm doing most of the savings and investing on our behalf. Okay. So we can use that money to buy the thing. So it still puts us in range that you can still pay all the bills. So I'm sharing that because I want you to understand, like, as you are in partnership, there are no rules that you can make up whatever rule you want. I mean, certainly you can get rid of all your personal financial stuff individually and just only do, you know, collective financial stuff. That's okay. You can say, we don't want to blend any money. That's okay. But it should be a conversation, a collective decision, a willingness to both be on the same page. So whatever that is. So that's what Jarrell and I did. But I tend to believe in having some our money as well as some our money. So my money and our money and most of the money is ours, you know, but I think it's important for adults to have some autonomy, but you might not think that, and that's okay. But I'm just saying all that to say, you don't got to get rid of all your credit cards if you don't want to. And, but you can still open joint cards and you could just keep your credit cards open, put some light bills on them so they don't get canceled and you can maintain your good credit history. All right, Riel, I hope that was helpful. All right. Well, If you like this epi and you think it's sexy, come on, baby, share me now. If you like the episode and you thought it was cute or whatever, go ahead on and share it with a friend. Leave us a review. You know, like, I don't know. Like, tell the girls. We're trying to blow up around here. All right. Man, I'll be back next week. So, you know, be kind and gentle to me. All right. Until next week, y'all. Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.